Chapter 8. An Unspoken Decision. "No, Peters," said the county attorney sharply. "It's all perfectly clear, except the reason for doing it. But you know juries when it comes to women. If there was some definite thing, something to show why she did it and make a story that could connect up with this odd way of doing it." Mrs. Hale looked at Mrs. Peters in a way the men would not notice, and the sheriff's wife looked back at her. They looked away from each other. The outer door opened, and Mr. Hale came in and said, "I've got the team round now. It's pretty cold out there." "I'm going to stay here a while by myself," the county attorney suddenly announced. "You can send Frank out for me, can't you?" he asked the sheriff. "I want to go over everything again, as I'm not satisfied we can't do better." For one brief moment, the two women's eyes found one another once more. The sheriff came up to the table and asked, "Did you want to see what Mrs. Peters was going to take in?" The county attorney picked up the apron and laughed, saying, "Oh, I guess those things are not very dangerous." Mrs. Hale's hand was on the sewing basket in which the box was hidden. She felt that she ought to take her hand off the basket, but she didn't seem able to. Mr. Henderson picked up one of the quilt blocks which she had piled on to cover the box. Her eyes felt like fire, and she had a feeling that if he took up the basket, she might grab it from him. But Mr. Henderson did not take it up, and with another little laugh said, "No, Mrs. Peters doesn't need supervising. For that matter, a sheriff's wife is married to the law. Ever think of it that way, Mrs. Peters?" Mrs. Peters was standing beside the table, and Mrs. Hale shot a look up at her, but she could not see her face. Mrs. Peters had turned away, and when she spoke, her voice sounded strange. "Not just that way," she said. "Married to the law," laughed Mrs. Peters' husband as he moved toward the door into the front room and spoke to Mr. Henderson. "I just want you to come in here a minute to take a look at these windows, George." "Oh, windows," said the county attorney, as if they were not at all important. "We'll be right out, Mr. Hale," said the sheriff to the farmer, who was still waiting by the door. Hale went to look after the horses while the sheriff followed the county attorney into the other room. Again, for one final moment, the two women were alone in that kitchen. Martha Hale stood up, her hands tight together, looking at that other woman, with whom everything rested. At first, she could not see her eyes, for the sheriff's wife had not turned back since she turned away at the suggestion of being married to the law. But now Mrs. Hale made her turn back with her eyes. Slowly, as if against her will, Mrs. Peters turned her head until their eyes met. There was a moment when they held each other's eyes in a steady, burning look in which there was no looking away. Then Martha Hale's eyes pointed the way to the basket in which was hidden the thing that would make certain the conviction of the other woman. That woman who was not there, and yet who had been there with them all through that hour. For a moment, Mrs. Peters did not move. And then she rushed forward, threw back the quilt pieces, took the box, and tried to put it in her bag, but it was too big. Desperately, she opened the box, starting to take the bird out. But there she broke. She could not touch the bird, and instead stood there, feeling helpless and foolish. There was the sound of a handle turning in the inner door, so Martha Hale grabbed the box from the sheriff's wife. She was able to get it into the pocket of her big coat just as the sheriff and the county attorney came back into the kitchen. She turned slightly so that her pocket faced away from the men. "Well, Henry," said the county attorney, trying to make a joke, "at least we found out that she was not going to quilt it. She was going to... what is it you call it, ladies?" Mrs. Hale's hand was against the pocket of her coat. "We call it... knot it, Mr. Henderson,"